Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Do you hate sports as much as I do?
No.
No, you say. You love them? You sick fucker. Wait. Check out www.officepoolsheets.com. Printable office pools for sports fans. Today's episode is brought to you in part, as always, by Complete Ag Resolutions, offering you the best solutions in your agricultural needs. Check them out at www.facebook.com/Complete Ag Resolutions.
And now it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you. Jerk off.
See, because I paid a late for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The TagCast podcast starts right now.
Because we have a miner in the studio, we've got to keep things family. What are you laughing for? Hey, all you happy campers out there. Welcome to the TagCast podcast, episode number 10. Ten little Indian gatches.
I know. For the longest time, I wanted 10 little Indians.
You should have had sex 10 times.
Still a 3.
That's too bad. Hear that? Do you know what that means in Indian?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
He's just saying 10 little Indians.
I meant the...
Yeah.
Oh, that's Indian speak?
Yeah, the 10 little Indians.
That reminds me of the Indian from Grizzly Adams, Nakoma.
He was in a coma?
No, his name was Nakoma.
Oh.
That was the weird thing about it. All right, so episode 10 is upon us, and the only 10 song I could find was 10 Little Indians.
That's great.
We have one little quiet Indian.
Yes.
And we have a guest in the house today. Local celebrity, I'd say.
Yeah.
You?
Oh, man.
And, yes.
Some people.
Vocalist, Fate 55.
Boss. He's boss. He's like Bruce Springsteen.
I don't like to think of myself as a boss.
I know.
A tour guide.
Yeah.
That's totally boss.
A friend for many years, though. Now over 20 years, right? Yeah.
I think it was
don't
over.
I don't even know what tribe of Indian you are.
Yeah.
Rogue River.
Uh-oh.
I thought you were little.
I'm
the little Indian.
One little, two. I'm the three little Indian variety.
We got Don Thorpe in the house. So
welcome,
thanks for
Don.
Being here, Don.
You're very welcome.
I think it was over 20 years ago when we performed together at the JC Hall as Reltney.
Yeah.
We did some Judas Priest.
Uh-huh.
We lived after midnight. We did some Lowrider. I think we did
some Romantics.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Good memory.
That about you.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Wow.
Yeah, that was
cool.
Fun.
So what have you been doing since then, 1991?
Well, let's talk about Reltney for a minute.
Okay. I think we spoke about the term Reltney on one of the earlier episodes.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Did we give the definition?
What is it?
I don't know if it's actually in the Urban Dictionary or
not. Oh, is it not?
It might be by now.
I'm curious
if
we still have the same memory or what
interpretation
of the
you tell your the Thorpe definition of it first, and then I'll go to Guile's dictionary and see what.
Well, from what I remember, a Reltney was when you get a hard on so intense that the skin splits.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Wow.
Yeah,
it just, I've never had that happen.
Really?
Yeah.
No. It just rips apart.
Probably if you're on doing the Viagra thing.
Oh.
And
if you were overloading on Viagra, I think it would probably happen.
And you don't have moist skin, like here you have that kind of dry skin already, and you Viagra
I call that,
for about 8 or 12 hours, probably crack right over.
I might call that Goodner Fingers.
I might have seen it on the Cialis commercial.
Uh-huh.
It says, side effects may include anal seepage and Reltney. If you have an erection for over 4 hours, please call your friends to brag and then call your doctor.
And there's a Reltney specialist.
Someone who pieces it
and
back
the seepage
together.
Can be used as an emollient to moisten back up the Reltney crack.
I never even thought of that. I'm going to use that.
Did I use the right word?
Emollient?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not going to question
it. That's a moisturizer.
That's way too big for an Indian.
If the word's longer than seven letters, I never question it.
Yeah. It sounded like I knew what I was talking about.
I just pretend like I know what's going on.
Yeah.
I pretend like I'm corpulent.
Well, you know, at my age, though, you know, I turned 50 this year, and, you know, my wiener cracks. My wiener skin cracks for different reasons. For not having a boner.
Not enough lotion.
Just little dried up.
You don't have
little thing.
You know, because as you get older, and I'm right on your tail there. Well, speaking
by
of
God,
lotion,
I've
and
heard
stuff,
that
but,
for a long time.
Yeah, but the older you get, the less maybe. What do you call it? Oomph you have to actually apply the lotion to the penis daily as you used to as a younger man.
Uh-huh. That's
right. You spend a lot more on Jergens as a kid, and then when you get older, you just kind of forget to apply lotion to cracked skin.
Even if you know damn good and well it's going to feel better and it's sitting right there, you just don't want to put out the energy to grab it.
And it'll probably only be a few years before the Urban Dictionary gets a hold of, you know, there's butt crack. Now there's going to be dick crack.
Exactly.
His dick crack was showing.
It's like, you know, when you're home and you're just too lazy to turn it off the channel and there's like the Housewives of Atlanta or something on. And you know you don't want to watch it, but you don't want to reach for the remote either.
Yeah.
I just see that sometimes. And people tell me, oh, yeah, you watch it just because my wife watches it. But I'm in the room sometimes. I'm usually working, doing something productive.
Uh-huh.
But I think we talked about it before, that Hillbilly show is just ridiculous.
The Duck Dynasty?
Yeah. Those guys say some of the funniest thing. I'm going to start DVRing it just to get material from my stand-up. They're like, you can't move.
Have you seen that, Don? Duck Dynasty?
I've seen the commercial. I have a pretty good idea, but I'd like to see it.
He was talking about his beard and stuff. I don't know. Oh, you got questions for him?
Yeah. Have you gone duck hunting?
Ever before?
Yeah.
Yeah, once.
Yeah, that was all it took?
Yeah.
Did you get
one? I was bored shitless. I was bored shitless, man. I want to go for the big game if I'm
going to hunt. Yeah, yeah. It gets cold out there duck hunting. You know, you get out there 4 o'clock in the morning.
You must be a beaver,
December.
Man.
Yeah, I'm a beaver. Well, speaking of big game, you know, as I get older in the female department when I'm hunting that, I prefer the bigger ones now.
Oh, really?
Because the littler ones, younger ones don't have anything to do with me anymore. So, So when
it's better to have a preference.
Bigger ones. But, and when I hunt. Yeah. Females, bigger ones. Better.
It's better to have a preference of people who are more accepting to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hey, and back to that lotion thing. You know, I think that all that's kind of a natural progression because when you're younger, you're really, you know, eager to get the lotion. Mm-hmm. And when you get the real thing, it's pretty lotiony.
Yeah.
And then when you get my age, you know, it's probably going to be pretty dry. So why you don't mess with the lotion? Because you want to keep it real. You know?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it's like my friend, he once told me that... When he jerked off, he would wear a condom because he wanted to
feel like he was having sex.
He just wanted to feel or be ready, you know, get the experience of what it's going to be like, so that he'll last his.
So he could like roll it on without sealing a deal before he even commenced
or something.
It.
Yeah, he was just practicing in the game.
Someone talked me to that once, but I had those powdery kind.
Oh, I hate those. Kind of like the chalk.
What is
from
that?
Pool table
you,
thing.
Is that like the doctor?
Or it was one
gloves?
Of those go all night ones that has the desensitizing thing, but it was inside out, so her pussy got numb for 4 days. that was actually Curb Your Enthusiasm, but that it could happen. I don't know if you ever used those, but that's like ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous. I was always ridiculous for me because it always fell off. I think I was really.
What's the opposite of a magnum?
I don't think I reached puberty until
Mag
I was about 23.
Mag Light?
Have you seen those magnum dark chocolate ice creams?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I saw them in Walmart the other day, and I thought they had condoms in the freezer for a second. Said Magnum, and it had this big brown phallic-looking thing on it. I was like, "What? Oh, delicious chocolate." Okay.
Now you have me wondering what a condom in the freezer would be like.
It'd probably break. It'd just snap apart. You try to just like glass or something. I don't know.
They have those rape prevention things where the girls insert it in.
Oh,
and
I saw
like
that.
Those it's backwards barbs of like a fish hook.
It's kind
of
like when you try to back out of the toll booth and it pops your tires.
Yeah.
So like
they have to be surgically removed.
Yeah.
So probably these people that are really, you know, a lot of people in our circles of life have, you know, really like the a lot of body piercing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They probably like do that for fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably going to be a new thing.
Yeah. It's like for
slamming into one of those rape prevention.
Exactly.
Right there, just get it right.
Imagine
right
revenge,
there.
Though. Or imagine like an ex-girlfriend being mad.
Well, if you enjoyed that stuff, you know, maybe you could get her one for Valentine's Day. And then when you guys did the thing, he's like, yeah, let's go to the doctor. I got to get this thing. It's like a Chinese torch or a Chinese finger.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
You wouldn't want it. Is that a move?
So let's just say, you know how some of those misogynistic guys say that, oh, she got raped because she was asking for it. Did you see how that slut was dressed?
Had her rape tool in.
Yeah, so if you're going to be dressing like a slut, you're going to wear your rape tool.
Yeah.
And then, so just, it's up in there like a tampon. Mm-hmm.
That's
all good.
And it's got that red flag that hangs out, too.
Does it?
Yeah, so you can tell.
No, it was the guys that were vying for that. We want the red flag.
It seems to me that you'd wear a shirt, though, that said, I'm wearing the rape prevention tool, because you still wouldn't want anybody, like, trying to rape you, right?
Well, yeah, but then you could just wear the shirt and not have it in and say, go ahead, try me. You want to try it?
Yeah. Well, I guess then you're fighting odds, so, right? You're gambling then.
Yeah.
But, no, I think it's mostly for, like, Africa because, you know, there's
some
a high percentage of rape.
Some people are dumb enough to fall for that stuff. Like, I remember Henry Rollins talking about the riots back in the 90s and... They'd put signs on their building that says "already looted, already burned."
Uh-huh. Oh,
but it wasn't burned or looted. None of the windows were broken. They're just like, maybe if they read this, they'll just move on.
Yeah,
there's tenants upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like if you want to get rid of a couch. If you want to get rid of a couch, you put $20 on it out in front of your house. Because if you put free, nobody will take it. But if it's $20
they'll
on there, somebody
it.
Will steal it in the middle of the night.
That's great mentality.
Go throw the couch in the ditch. Keep
yeah,
the money.
It is.
If you want to get rid of it quicker, just put more price on it.
Yeah, it's like $800.
Did you see that $800? We're waiting until they go to sleep. We're just going to take it. If we take it down to Goodwill, we can get at least $100. Oh, wait, Goodwill, you got to give your stuff to, right?
I think. Well,
you go to Goodwill lately, anybody? Are we
do they have
that?
Like mediocre will where they do give you like half the value of it?
I don't know, but I went to the Goodwill in Albany for I don't even know why now that I think about it, but dude, they had pants in there for $30. Button up
were they brand new?
No. They were Goodwilled. And they had a tent, like a 6-person Coleman tent in the thing. But you could tell it had been used.
Yeah.
$79.
Holy cow.
Door tweeters, $9. No, like that dude would totally beat their prices if he was still around from the stereo store.
Isn't he?
Talked high every time he said a price. Alarm system, $79.
You know what you should never buy at the Goodwill is puzzles.
Or underwear.
Well, why not that?
Or hats. Anything.
I like my.
Why not the puzzles?
Or Santa. Well,
because they're always missing pieces.
And that really piss you off if you get to the end of the world.
Yeah, it's like a 5,000-piece
puzzle.
What if it has a piece of tape and written on it, all pieces are here?
Yeah, that'd be even worse.
It's kind of like, already looted, already burned. They'll believe it. All you got to do is write it.
I love you can go there and they have like 10 different versions of Clue through the years. It's like if you played games as a child, you can kind of relive it just by going.
I only know the
will.
Original version.
The original?
Of Clue?
Yeah.
Yeah, is there new versions?
Oh, it's not even Colonel Mustard anymore. He's like a football coach or something. It's like a former football player.
Colonel Ditka?
Yeah, there you go.
That's like Coach Mustard.
Mervyn Olsen. So we're speaking of underwear a minute ago. I don't know how you guys think this will pertain, but are either one of you guys big Elvis fans?
No.
You're too young for that.
Yeah, I'm more.
You probably still too young. My dad's like, well, I don't know. My dad was like 70, and he loves Elvis.
I like a couple songs.
I mean, he is. Yeah, but yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, probably for that era, he was probably pretty cool. If you ever seen him someone shaking their hips or anything. And playing
Everybody was, I mean, he was hanging out with everybody in Hollywood,
right? So you know that, like, people that are my dad's age, 65, 70, they're like, he's the bee's knees. As
yeah,
said
he knew how to shake those hips.
So they a British auction company tried to auction off a pair of unwashed underpants worn by Elvis Presley. They failed to sell.
Oh, nobody wanted them?
No.
That surprises me.
You'd think
me.
There's some whack job out there to want them.
Give me the least bid.
I'll go down to 25.
$10.
Yeah, $10.
But no, I think the reason they didn't sell, because what did it say? They were expected to fetch $16,000. Now, who do you suppose gave the forecast of what they're going to...
Well, is there any discoloration?
Oh,
to
wait,
the
there were there was a reserve price of $11,200.
If there's discoloration, wow. They would
Who
be higher.
Who sets the reserve price for a dirty pair of underwear?
That's like 99 cents.
Oh, reserve. They did attract one bid of $8,000.
I'll take it.
And the funny thing is, there's probably lots of stain. I mean, I bet Elvis his last few years has shit his pants constantly.
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering. If there's more discoloration, it's probably worth more.
He invented the shart, I heard.
The shart?
Yeah.
He was a sharting machine.
They had 100 pieces of
Elvis
memorabilia.
That was his third album, but it didn't get released.
He did sell a lot of his iconic white jumpsuits, though.
How many did he have?
Lots.
Probably one for every.
Did all of his karate moves in?
Yeah.
Did he do karate moves in his jumpsuit?
Oh, dude, yes.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen Dred Zeppelin?
No, I never watched any of his movies.
No, Dred Zeppelin, the band. Have you ever heard Dred Zeppelin?
No.
Oh, my God.
They have an Elvis impersonator, right?
Yeah, but they do most, they started doing Zeppelin tunes, but he
reggae.
Was a, yeah, reggae, and he was in an he was a Elvis impersonator, and he'd sing, you know,
he's a reggae, reggae. Yeah. A whole, whole lot of love,
you know,
but reggae.
Then they started doing other stuff, not just Zeppelin tunes, reggae. In an Elvis voice, they did all sorts of stuff. They're funny. And he'll get on YouTube and check
Led
out
Zeppelin some reggae.
Dred
with Elvis.
Yeah,
you're crazy.
That's you got to come
They've
up
been
with
around
something.
For years.
Yeah, I've heard of them. I never have got to see any of their live stuff, but I did know they had Elvis impersonator and with the like when he'd do CC Rider and come out like his intro song, he'd be doing all the you know he'd get down on one knee and do the you know turning your fists up when you're or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm getting good at it myself. You've been
karateing it up?
Yeah, our little godson's been watching the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Oh,
all of a sudden, he came up to me out of the blue, no training whatsoever, and he's all... he's like two. Puts his foot out. He's doing like a one of those one-footed crane things. I was like, where do you learn that? And he's like, Power Rangers. He's awesome. He chooses to watch the 60s cartoon Godzilla. Remember that with Godzuki, too?
Oh, yes.
And we'll go through the... What do you want to watch? He could choose Thomas the Train or any of these new dinosaur whatever, Dino Dan. Mm-hmm. He wants to watch Godzilla. And he even says it kind of like that because he's a little kid.
What if he becomes a martial arts champion because of his fascination with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
That's how cool.
Oh, that'd be,
and he grows up
crazy,
and he becomes a world champion, and they make jokes about him like they do Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris is, you know, my favorite one is Chuck Norris when he does push ups. He doesn't push his body up, he pushes the earth down.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
He's in that new movie,
The Expendables.
Yeah, The Expendables 2.
Did he make it in that? Because he wasn't in the first one.
He was in the first one.
He
was?
No, in the
second one.
Oh, yeah,
he
he's in the new one, yeah.
But I saw the little thing. He's like 72 years old.
Well, the funny thing about him, you know, with all the jokes aside, he's really the only guy, you know, probably in that movie that really truly was a badass.
He
was a world champion more than once, you know, back before the MMA and all that stuff.
Yep.
And he was really a badass. He's a terrible actor, worst actor in history, but he's a badass.
I heard that he once took 10 kicks to the nuts without flinching.
Yeah.
One right after another. He took 10 kicks to the nuts without even
flinching. What he can do. That's probably in one of the Chuck Norris jokes.
Well, when he takes a shower, he doesn't turn it on. He just stares at it until it cries.
I heard somebody took his daughter's virginity and he got it back. That's how badass Chuck Norris is. We went through a big phase where we just sat for hours and tell him, but then it kind of waned a little bit.
So I'm more of a
they come
fan
back
of,
though.
Oh yeah, I know.
What
that's
about
why I was
Charles
wondering.
Bronson.
Dude, he was more badass, I think.
Yeah.
He was scary looking.
He wasn't
a big man, just scary looking.
Yeah.
His face was just, are you kidding me?
And like he had a big Lemmy thing on his face or something, didn't he?
Stone cold eyes.
Yeah.
Danny Trejo. You know who that is?
Have you seen Badass, that movie?
No, I haven't.
Check it out on Netflix.
Yeah.
We don't like to plug that other place where we watch movies because they won't give us a sponsorship.
Danny Trejo, man, he's a badass. He's pretty up there, too. He was in the 60s. He was being arrested for stealing cars and going to jail and stuff.
I loved
his role.
He's
pretty leathery.
Yeah. I loved his role in Breaking Bad. That was pretty good. Tortuga.
Yeah.
That's a guy in Machete, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has a newer movie called Badass. You got to check it out.
I will. Is it Badass? It's on Instant Watch?
But he is, yeah. And it's about this Vietnam vet who, like, sticks up for this lady on a bus or something because these guys are a guy. I don't know. And he kicks some ass, and it goes on YouTube. And he's been a struggling Vietnam veteran that couldn't get a job and all this stuff. And things turn around for him after his video goes viral.
Oh,
which
wow.
is kind of a weird twist on all the old...
Well, is that kind of like Kimbo Slice?
Maybe.
Boy.
Did that guy...
That guy's a monster.
Caught on lived, by, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, he got his ass handed to him, didn't he?
Quickly. Yeah. When he was, you know, on the old TV networks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as soon as he got up there, we're fighting real fighters, they kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, not...
It was more...
not a 120-pound, you know... Lifelong drug addict.
Well, they should have just kept him fighting tomato cans, though, right? Because, I mean, they would have sold a lot of tickets, I think, that
tomato
way.
Cans?
They
just... Did I miss something?
They put him in over his head too quick, man.
Tomato cans.
That's a boxing term, right? Tomato can?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I'm ignorant.
You used to box quite a bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I boxed from 14 to 19.
Wow.
That's like in local leagues or what?
It was just amateur boxing club. And we, you know, they had... When I was doing it, they had them all over the place. You know, Salem had a couple, and Portland had a couple, and Albany had one. And
so that's where you did Albany, Salem, and Portland?
I did Lebanon.
Lebanon.
But you have tournaments, you know, your Golden Gloves tournaments and your novice tournaments. And, you know, we had smokers where a team would host other teams, and you'd match up and you'd have fights. So, yeah, I got hit in the nose at least 10,000 times in my life.
Informative podcast for me because I didn't know that, and I probably wouldn't have said such shitty things to you over the years if I'd known you were a Golden Gloves boxer.
But I'm a nice fellow.
I know. But just get me in the ring, and that's my job. I will knock your life.
Would you have liked to have done like the MMA stuff that they do now? Do you see?
I don't know if I would have liked it, but if
you would have entered into that arena nowadays.
I would have. I probably for sure would have because I was a wrestler in junior high and part of high school and did pretty well at that and boxing. So I think if MMA was, you know, a hip thing then, I'm probably undoubtedly would naturally have done it. I don't know if I would have done
just
well.
Just got down on the ground and just started pummeling.
Yeah. Because basically what I'm saying, I was a badass little fucker.
Probably still are if someone ever brought it out of you.
Well, I could still clean up as long as it didn't last over 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And I'd be toast.
Because the cardio, right?
Yeah. 10 seconds, I'd still be really tough.
I throw two punches and I'm done. I hope you knocked out by then.
I was kidding, by the way, guys, when I said I was a badass. But I kind of was. Really. I just didn't.
You got
it. I sure
be.
Didn't look it.
Yeah. You guys,
that was what was fun when I had to defend
sleeper.
Myself.
That's what they call you, a sleeper.
Yeah. Dark horse.
Dark horse.
Would you guys watch the Clown Olympics?
What would they do?
Well, you got like the clowns in the big shoes and they'd be doing the hurdles.
Yeah.
They would catch, though. Probably they'd trip on every one.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
That's why it was so entertaining.
Yeah, but they'd be XL, I think, it's like swimming, right?
Maybe they could have the animal balloons with helium in them so they can jump over a little easier.
There you go.
Just with just enough to where they can run, but if they jump, they kind of get a little extra lift.
A little extra lift. Maybe, I mean, that would definitely be an event, right? Would be animal tying.
Well, they have, like, clown events that people clamor to, kind of like, you know, clown nerds or, like, Star Trek conventions kind of thing.
Yeah,
where
I would think so.
Clown this or clown that. And I don't know. I have some friends who are clowns.
Did you know that faces
seriously.
Faces are trademarked? Like
in
you
the
can't.
Oh yeah,
you can't like put on Bozo's face.
Just like Gene Simmons or the
you
dude
have to
from
twist
Slipknot.
It up a little. You have to tweak that look a little. Can't just be some other clown.
You can't be looking like the guy from the black metal band Mayhem because he has a trademark on.
Does he?
Probably.
Well, I would imagine
Slipknot,
so.
You know Gene Simmons around. Does. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know
Gene
it.
Simmons trademarked everything.
He trademarked
money
bags.
Trademarking.
Did he trademark that hair thing he's got going on? What the hell is that?
No. Seriously. He just shares it with his illegitimate half-brother, Richard. Richard Simmons. His illegitimate half-sister. Damn, I blew my punchline. No, and their widow's peak is the same. Yep. Their skin complexion.
It's terrible.
But he's just smaller and more feminine.
Yep.
They're both sweating to the oldies every night.
And they're both dealing a meal.
Yeah. I heard. I still haven't heard that new Kiss song.
Heller Hallelujah.
But then some song from like 10 years ago came on, and I was fooled into thinking that, oh, is this the new Kiss song? And it was that Domino or whatever that. You know that Domino song?
Yeah, I did.
She's my Domino.
No, yeah.
Like, what? Oh, I forgot about this song.
Dude, Heller Hallelujah, though. Have you heard that, Don?
No, I have not.
Kiss? It's pretty heavy music.
I guess it has a heavy guitar riff at the beginning. Is heavy enough to draw some metalheads at the workplace there. What's this that the radio's playing? This sounds pretty. And then Paul Stanley comes in there like, oh.
Yeah.
It's that lick it up guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lick it up.
Heaven's on fire.
What about You Make Me Rock Hard? That was always a classic Kiss song.
That would probably be coupled with You Put the X in Sex.
Yeah. Those are both on the greatest hits.
Those aren't greatest hits. Smashes, Thrashes, and something.
We just got that the other day, didn't we, Caden?
Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits?
Dan Wambacher gave us that CD.
How can a Kiss album have Thrash in the title? They are definitely not.
They had some Thrashes.
Well, they did one Exodus cover,
Beth.
Didn't they? No.
It actually shows
wow, yeah. That's, yeah.
It looks weird. I can't tell.
They do look weird.
I know.
You just need to watch Simmons Family, Family Jewels.
Yeah, I saw him on TV the other day for something. And yeah, I was like, where's Paul Stanley? And then there he was. So yeah, I was just staring right at him. I didn't even look
Oh, but
like
he had
him.
His no makeup on?
You
can't tell if he has it on.
Paul Stanley, does he do what's fashionable now and kind of trim the chest hair down?
No,
or
I saw one of those things like he used to wear on Destroyer days, and a friend of mine had posted a picture and said, put your shirt on, dude. It's like, it had one of those Will Ferrell looking, it's all hairy and just like.
Kind of a Chia Pet looking. Yeah.
Almost looks
nappy.
Like he has a gallbladder scar or something just going right across the front.
You need to get one of those mesh shirts.
Or a like Paul Bladder.
One of those John Williams shirts.
Oh. And I seen Yngwie Malmsteen a few years back.
Uh-huh.
And
we talked about
he had gained considerable weight over the years, and he said his shirt buttoned all the way down to his navel, you know, and he just had a big old sweaty belly poker, kind of like Elvis looked at the end, and he was still puckering his lips and, you know, the pucker thing when he was playing, but man, he's definitely a shredder.
Throwing
the
guitar
around a trillion times.
It makes Cinderella look like slackers. It's like they did it twice or something.
Yeah, Yngwie was still trying to be sexy. He was just atrocious looking. Just made me want to gag.
That's too awesome.
Speaking of clowns, I heard it's you don't want to drive a stick shift. I've been picking up clown tips.
Oh, when you're I thought you were talking directly to Don.
No, when you're a clown, you don't want to drive a stick shift because, you know, you got the big shoes.
You got another pedal to deal with.
Yeah.
You could get your big clown foot caught under the brake and on the gas pedal, and next thing you know, you're launching through the Dairy Mart. Like this old lady went forward when she was supposed to go backwards at the Dairy Mart and went like in the drive through.
Is this over, where is this at?
In Brownsville.
Oh, really?
At the old,
right through the Dairy Mart?
Well, just into it enough to break the glass. You know how they got big glass things on the front? So she was in one of those snazzy little BMW M3, those little Z3s or whatever they are. And she just went right into
it. I bet she thought she was a little less hot shit after.
She was probably 60.
If you're
going to
do that,
shitless.
Though, jump out and just grab something out of the hot case and
big
start
shark.
Eating it. You know, you got to look natural when you do it.
Yeah.
I'll take this and some chocolate milk.
Throw a couple bucks on that. Get and
they're like, ma'am, I can't I thought it was a drive-thru.
Might as well play it off, right?
No, there was big shards of glass because they're like probably 10-foot windows that are probably 4 feet wide, and there's like shards.
Shards of glass.
There was shit flying everywhere.
Elvis sharts.
There were shards of glass.
I bet she had some seepage going on.
Oh, man. She probably pooped herself a little. She's like, I stained my leather seats.
I ran off the road one time, though, and I did not shit myself, but I probably could have.
Yeah.
I don't know. I probably didn't eat much that day.
Did you think that after that happened that you might have been driving a little too fast?
Well, it was like the one of those first rains, you know, like we just experienced the other day where, you know, the roads are slicker than you think.
Right. Brings that oil right up to the surface and all that
yeah,
stuff because it has
yeah.
a lot of moisture.
And then I was trying to light a cigarette at the same time.
Those things will kill you.
Blam. Yeah, they will.
You
know, 100% of people, 100% of people driving Fords will die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's die. Amazing.
Yeah. It is.
And 100% of people who smoke.
They'll die.
Yep. And non-smokers.
They'll die.
Hey, speaking of driving too fast, how fast do you think is too fast? Like, I know everyone goes probably a little faster than the 65 mile
an hour. Depends on where you are, right?
What are you, if you're cruising to Portland, yeah.
Oh, on I-5?
I am absolutely OCD riddled with that.
65.
It's, no, it's 72. 60.
Oh, 72, cool.
I set the cruise control 72.
They won't pull you over with that usually.
Yeah. No, 73, you're dead. 72, no way. So I set it at 72 every time I'm going
to Portland. That seems reasonable for me. Yeah, over 70 but not 75.
Have you ever driven in Montana? For a dental floss trip? Or
no, I haven't. But Nevada.
We went there, and the speed limit was actually 75.
Oh, wow. You know, so were you going?
We were going 82, yeah.
Yeah, about 80, maybe 83 on that.
In Texas, it
percentage-wise, it's a little higher than you.
In Texas, it was 85 when we got pulled over, and I was going 80, and he pulled me over for going 5 miles over. But when the speed limit's 75, I guess you should probably just go 75.
Yeah.
But speaking of Texas and speed limits, now they got a new stretch. I read this story about a new tollway of a Highway 130 in Texas, 85-mile-an-hour speed limit.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
We're talking like Autobahn shit. And they're like, oh, insurance rates are going to go up. And someone's like, how are insurance rates going to go up? This like, because there's going to be a ton more accidents, and everybody's insurance rates are going to go up because they said it's just a proven fact that with more speed, more deaths.
More gruesome, bloody deaths.
Yeah. Just like...
To rubberneck apps.
Speed.
Meat everywhere.
You think with the speed limit being 85 there, do you think Sammy Hagar can finally drive 55?
He can drive 80. He probably would say, I can't drive 85.
No.
Because you always want a little more than they'll give you. Like Utah is the second. They have a highway that's 80 miles per hour.
That's just because they're Mormon, though, right? Their horse and buggy goes like 75, 80.
No, the Amish people, I think, live in Pennsylvania or somewhere.
Oh. Right? They use cell phones and stuff now, though.
And they're not Amish. They're Mennonites.
Is that true?
In my book.
I think, okay.
You want to buy it? I got a book.
How much?
$5.
All right.
So, are we going to, I don't want to change the subject, but
do
at
it.
Some point, can we talk about the Carl's Jr. commercials?
All right.
Yes, let's do that now. What do you got? The new ones?
Yeah, I just...
I told Dustin I don't watch a lot of commercials anymore because of the DVR thing.
Yeah, but Carl's Jr. commercials, it doesn't matter if you like TV, it doesn't matter if you like silly commercials or if you hate commercials, but if you have any desire for the opposite sex...
The last
Carl's
one I remember
Jr.
is Paris Hilton washing
the
car.
This one has two chicks, and it's the new, it's a Memphis barbecued pulled pork burger.
Dude, that looks so good.
So
it
has these two
on
chicks.
Top of a burger.
Oh, yeah. So it has these two phenomenal looking chicks. By the way, let's talk too about famous chicks that are hot, but the ones that are in these commercials are way hotter.
Yeah.
But no one ever thinks of those. They don't get enough. They deserve more credit than that.
Yeah. Right.
But these two chicks, you know, they have their Daisy Dukes on with the bottom cheeks of the ass hanging out of them on this is regular commercial throughout the day. And they got their stomachs sweating and their pushed up little bikini tops on.
And they're,
grilling
something called pork.
Yeah, oh yeah. And they're pork. And they're grilling these burgers and they're slopping the pork on there. and then they get them all juiced up and they sit down on a blanket or something and they interlock arms like when you drink the champagne after a wedding.
Uh-huh.
And they, you know. Yeah, provocatively eat those pulled pork Memphis barbecue burgers.
Yeah,
yeah, and then they would have like made out
And if I was 15 again, and I would watch that
straight to Carl's Jr.
splooged right in the shorts, watching that 30-second commercial,
and then went straight to Carl's Jr.
Absolutely,
in my pants.
I just can't believe how hot. Those
you know
girls
why
are
they don't
the
wear very many clothes on there though? It's because their burgers they drip a lot, and they don't want to drip anything on their clothes.
And plus their commercials are splooge worthy.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So it's like, if it doesn't get all over the place, it shouldn't be a commercial.
It just stays on the burger.
I wonder if any of those commercials where they have the sweaty bodies, whether it's a movie or a porn or a commercial. I mean, I wonder if it really ever is really sweat, or if it's always just spray on water.
Or if they just turn the lights on really
Vaseline
high.
Or something.
Like, just jog in place for 15 minutes. And it's sweat and just pour.
They don't do enough of those, like, hard PG-13 movies, like Hard Bodies and stuff that they used to do in the 80s.
Oh, like Porky's and...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are classics.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're peeking through into the shower.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Meatballs. Screwballs.
Oh, yeah.
I loved those movies. Hey, before I forget, that we do a little section, and then after this we'll maybe get to some actual interview-style questions for our local celebrity. But other local celebrity, Hans Jochumsen, we always cover this thing as what's in Hans' CD player. And in Hans' CD player today, uh-huh. Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd. He was just listening to, what, Roger Waters last week?
Yeah. So, I didn't even know he was a Pink Floyd fan.
I don't know if he is. Maybe he's just doing that to make you feel better about him.
Hey, thanks.
It's my son-in-law's favorite band. He's a Marine guy, and you just wouldn't think it, but he's a freak. I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah.
I like listening to it, but I have to be in the right mood, you know?
Right, yeah. For sure.
Because I want to rock.
Yeah.
I want to rock. They just kind of put me into a little stupor when I listen to them.
You listen to a lot of Twisted Sister when you want to rock?
What do you want to do with the rest of your life?
I want to rock!
Rock. Yeah, excellent. That was great harmony, guys.
That was nice.
So, yeah, I like to rock, too, but... That's April Wine. I like to rock.
That version. And they blend the Satisfaction, Day Tripper, and everything all in.
And not get sued because they change it a little bit.
Yeah.
They probably would have got sued if the Beatles would have heard that song. Mm-hmm. No.
Like, Paul needs more than his $1.1 billion that
he's worth. Enough, yeah. It's
he
not
just
enough, mate.
He just got a national French National Military Award or something.
Doesn't surprise me.
He'll get it. Deserving of it.
Anybody's going to give him something that's cool because they're like, he has 1.2 million.
Honorary member of the French National Guard or something.
Yeah. I don't like that, the fact. I mean, I'm granted, he's an awesome songwriter, trailblazer in the fact of music.
We'll keep the words to that.
But
venue,
who opens?
Right?
Yeah. Who really deserves to have $1.2 billion besides, like, George Lucas? He doesn't deserve it, does he? Sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe...
the underdogs, that's who deserves it. Us three.
Jenna Jameson?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were just talking on the last episode how I was hoping that Ron Jeremy and her would, like, accidentally die on the same day. Because then they could make, like, a porn holiday out of it.
Yeah, they would.
It's the day the porn died. Like the day that Richie Valens' Buddy Holly died.
Oh, yeah.
Get him in a bad place.
And that was the same day that Eric Clapton gave up his seat
to Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, that's funny. Nice segue there, because on my turntable, after we go from Hans' CD player, I was actually listening to Texas Flood on vinyl that I picked up at a garage sale.
Nice.
And this is different than the Devo album I was listening to the other day. No scratch, barely any scratches.
Wow.
A few of the little... which is what you love about vinyl, but no actual skips or jump, whatever you call it. So, yeah, that's on my turntable. I suggest people go out and buy some records and get your record player. And for you computer freaks, they have them that hook right up to your USB. Boom.
Yeah.
And I heard they're coming up with some new technology to sort of resurface your old scratched records.
How would they do that?
Or no, that's not what it is. It's a new... record reader that's not an actual needle. It's like a laser.
Oh.
And somehow it reads through some of the bad scratches. Did you say knife?
That's also
knife.
What
I said knife. A lisp.
That's also what I have in my junk drawer is a copy knife. Of Texas Flood, but it's all scratched and doesn't work.
Nice.
Scrotum.
Oh, yes. So I always let Dustin go first when we have a guest in the studio, so to speak, studio, to ask some questions of said guest.
All right.
What do you got for Don?
Don,
today?
Have you ever owned a horse?
I've never owned a horse, but I've seen some horses.
Yeah, have you seen some horses?
Yeah, my brother Ron, you know, all of us Thorpes, we have, I always want to try to go back to, inappropriate stuff, but we're hung kind of like pimples, and my brother Ron, we'd go like play racquetball and stuff. And when we'd go into the shower, I'd be behind him, and I swear to God, it knocked between his knees. It was so freaking. It was mammoth sized schlong on my brother. He's a horse.
So you owned your brother's horse?
I didn't own it, but if I, you know, I'd like to own it.
I've owned a horse.
Yeah, but
so
I've never owned a horse.
Have you ever owned a sawhorse?
Yes.
All right. Have you ever owned a seahorse?
Yes.
All right. Have you ever?
What? Yeah, those little
sea monkey.
No, I apologize. Oh, so I've owned sea monkeys. I grew sea monkeys once.
Have you ever saw a monkey?
I saw a monkey.
Right. Have you ever seen?
No, let's go back to the monkey thing.
Okay.
My grandma and grandpa that lived right on the same property as I growing up in Waterloo had a fucking monkey.
Really?
Yeah, for 12 years. His name was Mickey.
Did he ever
get mean?
He
was one of those old squirrel. I hated it. He was terrible. He was just mean as hell. His name was, there he is, that's Mickey the monkey. He was one of those little squirrel monkeys or spider monkeys.
Uh-huh.
He'd sit on my granddad's shoulder, and he loved my grandma and grandpa, but he hated kids. I was scared shitless of him.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, it
monkeys
actually
will scare me.
Prevented me from having a good relationship with my grandparents because of that fucking monkey.
Did he fling poo, literally? I've heard the
no,
monkeys do that.
No, but he rubbed it and kind of cleaned himself with it and stuff with his pee.
Yeah. Like,
nasty smelling little bastard.
Have you ever flung poo?
I've never flung poo that I can remember. I imagine when I was a child.
Yeah.
I'm sure I did.
Where is the funniest place you've ever taken a poo?
Funniest place I've ever taken a poo? Probably right alongside I-5, just right beside the car going to a rock concert.
Right on. Yeah.
Right in the middle of the day, because I had to do it.
Couldn't wait for the rest area.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't wait.
And I just, you know, you just kind of bend down, you kind of just point up in the sky. That way everybody that's driving by, they're looking up. What the hell is he looking at?
That's a perfect distraction. Yeah. I've never thought of it.
It's like when I sing, when I forget a lyric, I start laughing like someone in the audience has made me laugh. Yeah. So I do that instead of just being an idiot
and forgetting
the lyrics. So
I'm going to have to remember that move, too.
So,
all right. And then my last question is, do you remember that time I got lost up in the mountains?
Oh, boy. I remember it well.
Oh, man. That was freaky for everybody, I think.
What happened?
This isn't the mountains. This is like hundreds and hundreds of miles.
Yeah, it's like Burns, Oregon, right? Around there.
I mean, we're talking.
And it was snowing, you know, and there's snow and there's like ridges and it was, you know, we're out there and camping, you know, and it was nearing dusk and we were going out just for the time. And I went over one ridge and then two ridges and like three and thought I'd backtrack. And yeah, I didn't make it. I ended up on a road somewhere.
Did they send a search party for you?
Boy, we were getting scared. Our hearts were just
Up on the road somewhere probably an hour and a half probably after we were supposed to meet.
What were you
and
guys
the
doing
and
there?
The person in the camp next to us, Doug, I think his name was, a good friend, happened to be driving by and noticed me. And I mean,
that's
a miracle.
There's just roads.
That's a miracle.
Yeah, there's roads everywhere. Just
it's probably like 500
miles.
Square miles at least.
We're on a hunting trip or an acid trip or what?
I tell you, it's hard feeling like an acid trip because we were all, you know, we're all pretty.
Yeah,
we
feeling
don't get too
surreal.
Worried, but
they were back at the truck where we had met.
Our heads just going, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't even imagine what you guys were doing.
That fucking Indian can't find his way back.
You guys were shooting guns probably, trying to signal me. You know, or something.
We
I would imagine.
We were doing that.
Couldn't you use your Native American skills to get back to camp?
It snowed like hell that night, too.
Oh.
I remember. It was a lucky thing. Yeah, then we got back to camp with the friend, and then my dad, I think, knew where you guys were.
Yeah.
So we drove and let you guys. But, man, yeah, I couldn't even imagine what you guys are feeling over there.
When you get lost in the real woods and you think you have 8 hours of dark to face and all those crazy little animals.
Oh, it was a scary.
A lot of crazy
I'm getting the chills right now.
Oh, man, it's hot in here.
Ooh.
Get my goofy
all right. Well, that's
speaking of the real woods, they were filming The Real World in Portland this weekend. Literally, we saw the camera. It just came to me when he said The Real Woods. I was like, I thought you had a little bit of a lisp still. the real woods. And they walk by, and then, like, my wife and the kids after the Yellow Wolf concert go to a market around the corner, and they're like, we totally walked in front of the camera from The Real World, and we're going to be on there. Like I said, yeah, unless they edit that part out. But have you ever been, here's my first question for Don. Have you ever been on a TV show of any sort, so it does national or local TV?
Never have.
No.
Never
have. Oh, darn it. Okay, how about this? What's the biggest crowd that you've ever performed with a band in front of?
The biggest crowd.
I mean, I don't need...
I'd say probably the Red, White, and Blue Festival in Corvallis when we headlined that last couple of years. It's just freaking packed because it's a narrow kind of corridor, but it goes all the way back and people just crammed
is
in.
Is that
there.
An inside? Is it?
It's outside.
Oh, outside.
It's right on the riverfront, right?
I'd say there's definitely thousands of people out. And then when we opened for Three Dog Night this summer.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
We didn't. I mean, there wasn't thousands and thousands of people when we were playing, but it was, you know, the booking agent said that,
you know, it was a Thursday night. We started like we played from like 6 to 7. He said it was probably the nicest opening show he saw ever. Yeah. You know, I mean, there was a lot of people there. We have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we were getting wrapping up our set, people were starting to pile in for the 3 hour night show. So there were certainly thousands of people for that one.
Right on. That's cool.
But it's fun to play in front of thousands of people if you know you're sounding okay and the sound system's good. But if you have this little, you know, close and play sound, and you know, say you're using somebody else's sound system or something, and oh my god, all these people are hearing us sound terrible. But if you have a really good sound system and you're playing well,
does that ever
thrilling?
Does that ever snowball for you? Like, say, if the sound system is under par and you're having technical difficulties, and then like it gets in your mind, and then next thing you know, you're trying to not forget lyrics or you're distracted. That ever happened to you?
Yeah. It's not so much worrying about that stuff, but you definitely get out of your element. Your body tightens up.
Yeah.
And you're trying to still perform.
Yeah.
And act natural and act like you're enjoying yourselves, but you're really stressed and knotted up inside because everything's going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't had that happen really at the bigger gigs the last few years we've been getting, but I can think of a couple back, like when we played with you guys in that Knockout John band, the Butt Rock band, and the last year we just weren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
We just sounded terrible. And then, you know, there were some issues with some of the musicians in the band. We just weren't tight. And to stand up there going, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing, you know?
And then you just kind of trudge through it.
Yeah.
Just hopefully it gets better. Yeah.
It's terrible.
So I don't know all of them, but I was trying to think of the bands that you've been in, like probably in bands before I met you. You were in, what was the band you were in like back? Before Knockout John, like say early 90s, or were you in a band?
Was it the actual size band?
Yeah, you played drums and sang, right?
Yeah.
Is that the first band you were in pretty much?
No, there was a band before that called The Tourists.
Oh.
And it was like really, I started when just right before I turned 21, and I played with them drums for about 6 years and sang some of the songs, you know. Oh. But we did a little bit of country, a little bit of top 40, a little bit of old classic rock. And actually, it was a pretty good variety when I think back on it.
Right.
I wasn't very proud of the band at the time. I didn't think we were that good, you know.
Right.
But it was a real nice variety where you could play about any type of, or you could play a variety of venues, you know.
You'd actually started as Fate 55 as the drummer, didn't you?
No, I was a drummer in Actual Size.
You moved to vocals, though, right, in Actual Size? Didn't you have...
Well, Actual Size, that Jan guy, the guitar player, him and I shared. He probably sang half the tunes, and I sang half the tunes. We did a lot of that Stevie Ray Vaughan cover stuff that he was really good at. And I did a lot of the Creedence and the Bad Company and Paul Rogers stuff.
So you never went to just lead vocalist? You were always a drummer for Actual Size?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then, but what happened was Rick, the bass player in Actual Size, and I, we, you know, when Jan went off to guitar school in Berkeley or whatever, he just went over and started playing with Gail and Robbie, and none of them could sing, so they said, why don't you just come over and be a singer? So, and then in May, that'll be 22 years ago.
55?
We've been together for 22 years.
Wow.
So I've been standing up front for 22 years.
That's
and I still
awesome.
Get back on the drums, mess around once in a while, and I play in a part-time in a kind of a comedy folk band, Neil Gladstone and Company. And I play drums still in that band, but we only perform a couple times a year.
Yeah, the Bone Jars, my longest running band, is now about a couple times a year thing. We're doing a private party for Crabtree out in Crabtree in a couple weeks, but Halloween will be 20 years.
Unbelievable.
For the Bone Jars. And of course, we're always a three-piece, and over the 20 years, we've had just two bass players and me and the same drummer the whole time. So it's kind of nice. I mean, you probably know, as anybody that's in a cover band that gets to that point, you don't practice a lot.
No.
You practice at home by yourself. You go through the songs and then you get together. And sometimes we don't have the luxury of having time to get together because everybody has their jobs and their lives and they're having kids and whatever. And we just get together.
Shits and
it just seems to come to you. I mean, I'll have my lyric sheets there just because, you know, if you're playing 40 songs and you haven't practiced in 6 months, you're kind of, how did these lyrics go? But it's kind of nice, though, to only play a couple times, don't you think? I mean, you don't do it for, like, needed income. You
have Fate 55, I do.
Oh,
it's,
yeah?
It's definitely a business.
Oh,
that
yeah.
If I didn't have it, I'd be screwed.
Oh, yeah. So you guys...
But we play quite a bit.
Oh, so you do play more than twice a year then?
Fate 55, we play two or three times a month.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We have, like,
in the next 5 weeks, I think 4 out of the next 5 Saturdays we play.
You guys play at the Peacock after the Beaver games, right?
Yeah, the last 6 years we did all the Beaver games. This year we got 4 of the Beaver games.
Those are great night, great turnouts.
Yeah, great turnouts. And then we have annual events we always play for, like the Brew Fest at the Expo Center here in Albany. Uh-huh. And we have a couple private parties we play for every year, one called Oktoberfest up in Sotaville for a friend of mine. And then we have corporate parties we usually play for in December every year. Watchang, we're doing theirs up in Salem this year. And then we do a lot of festivals now. You know, we're booked for Monteith, the River Rhythms next summer. We
get a night that's
doing
awesome.
That. And he's going to have us open up for somebody else at the Linn County Fair next year. So, yeah, we're busy, but the summer and especially the fall, we get really crazy busy. And then in the winter, we just play maybe once a month at some club or something just to keep our chops up, you know. But, it's turned into a pretty good little business, really. And I'd be screwed if I didn't have that little supplementary income.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I just wasn't I wasn't sure what your guys' schedule was or how often you were playing or whether you were in a couple bands. I didn't even know you were in that comedy folk thing, but that sounds like a lot of fun. Do you guys play out?
Fun.
You guys play out once in a while? Or?
Yeah, just Neil Gladstone's he's a singer-songwriter, been doing it for I think like 45 years.
Wow.
He's an older guy. I think he's 66 now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's as funny as hell, and a little bit of politics, a little bit of he likes to bash country music quite a bit in his songs, so we do a lot of country songs, but tongue-in-cheek and really, really silly, funny songs.
Right.
And put our hats on and all that stuff. And so he's hilarious. He's one of the funniest people I've ever known. He's an incredible songwriter, and he was down like everybody else in the 70s trying to make it big in L.A., and had some close calls with that, got some airplay on some of his songs. And he is a personal friend of Dr. Demento.
Wow.
Yeah. So, was a huge Dr. Demento fan. Dr. Demento and him had an actual personal friendship. And Dr. Demento, if you listen to that stuff, it's, he's kind of, I think he got probably Weird Al's start or whatever. But
I think Weird Al used to send demos over there and stuff.
You know, Neil doesn't do, he does some serious music. When we do our set, we probably play 20, 25 songs and probably 15 to 20 of them are hilarious, and there's 5 or 6 that are serious, but he's a funny guy, and he puts together a great band.
Right on. Mm.
And I sit back there and rat-a-tat-tat. He keeps the drums parts real simple. I mean, it's literally... I mean, that's all I do.
You're like Charlie Watts.
But it's fun. Oh, he's way more active.
Oh, really?
I am in this. Oh, yeah. Way more.
We were talking about how he's made so many millions of dollars with the Rolling Stones, and he's never really had to... I don't mean to diss on anybody, but... drummer from the Rolling Stones doesn't really seem like he ever really did much.
He looks about half asleep all the time.
Yeah, he's on whatever Keith's on, I think.
Maybe he's where Keith is getting it. That's why he's.
I read Richard Lee Watts never does and never has listened to rock and roll music. He's never been a fan of rock and roll music.
Huh.
He likes jazz and stuff like that and classical music, but he just doesn't really never listen to rock and roll music.
It's kind of crazy.
I read that one time.
Yeah.
Wow. Or I dreamed. I don't know. One or the other.
we give out all kinds of disinformation and claim that it's correct.
I dream facts.
Yeah. You dream facts?
I dream facts.
Send me a fax.
I was looking for somebody to fax me some toilet paper the other day. I made a trip to the store for toilet paper, bought everything I needed but toilet paper.
What did you do? I mean, did you have to go without? Did you just paper towel it or drip dry or
coffee filters?
Ooh,
that's not a bad idea.
They're not too filters. Rough.
You don't have any cold.
And then you can
used to be
hide
corn
them.
Cobs back in the day.
You can hide them in the coffee.
Yeah,
in the coffee filter.
Leaves, leaves, as long as they're not too dry.
All I got is needle trees around here.
Oh, I think I sent you a message. Yeah. See, and we've been having a little problem with toilet paper as well. What my wife likes to call some of our kids as hyper wipers. We bought like a 24 double roll, which is supposed to be 48 rolls.
Yeah.
It's like $12 or something. Not a bad price.
Yeah.
This is last week. They're almost all gone.
Wow.
I think I'm going to start counting the empty rolls in the garbage to see if they're not like subcontracting our toilet paper out. Like, I don't know.
Maybe they're going out at night and toilet papering houses.
I became a big fan of the flushable wet wipe.
Oh, once you get older,
because it just cleans it up real nice.
But
don't you have that itching?
To...
You know that not so clean feeling later.
Yeah,
today.
But you have to dry it off afterwards, right? Because it's all moist.
No, it has those. What did I use? Emollients.
Yeah.
So I used baby wipes one time.
They're beautiful. Out hunting, you know, so you don't get chafed and all that. You got to use them.
I might change some people's mind with this little bit of information that I'm going to give you. So everybody's been kind of conditioned to just use toilet paper to wipe their ass with, right?
Uh-huh.
You got wet wipes now over in Europe. They got the bidets and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So let's say you accidentally got a piece of shit on your face.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take a piece of tissue and just kind of wipe it and then keep wiping it? Or would you like wash it off with water and soap? You'd probably wash it off with water and soap, right?
I think I would get the bulk of it off with the tissue because once you get the water and soap, it just turn into a big mush of shit.
And
it drips down into your mouth. So I think I would get the bulk and the chunks and the peanuts and stuff off.
The peanuts.
And then the
tomato seeds. Yeah,
that's right.
I know. Those.
And then I would wash it with the soap big time.
Okay, well, that's a good chime in there. What do you think? Would you just rub shit around?
I think I would agree. What I might want to do is I might just wipe it down as war paint and then take a shower after a couple minutes.
Let it dry.
Yeah.
So, like, when we were doing the open mic a long time ago, when I first started, there was a guy, and he was a professor at a college, and he kind of was more of a spoken word, and it was an open mic, so he didn't really have to be funny. He'd just come there and talk, and he's the one that actually turned me on to that little story. He goes, I visited India. They don't have toilet paper there. He goes, and they got the bidets. He goes, and once you do that, you're never going to be, and then he told the story of, would you rub it around on your face? And we're like, well, then what do you use, dude? You don't, what? And he's like, I just use water and my hand. We're like, ew.
I hope he keeps his nails
And then
trimmed.
He just washes his hands.
Just plain old water is not going to give that shit smell away. It soaks right into the skin, man.
I never shook hands with the man again.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, I thought he was kind of funny and cool at first, but then he told me that he didn't use toilet paper, and I said, well, what do you use? And he said, just my hand and water.
That just doesn't
Maybe he
it,
doesn't
man.
Want to shake hands with anybody, and so he tells him that story.
He was one of those older guys that was just like, oh, this makes me mad. Oh, this makes me mad. I go, hey, when I'm walking down the road and you've got like a 4-second window of opportunity to say something, and they say, how's it going? Hey, come back. Did you ask me that I was going to tell you what was going on with my life? Or are you going to the bank? How are you doing today, sir? Well, my wife left me last week, and my house is foreclosed, but I just wanted to take out the last bit of my savings. How are you doing? You have a job still, I see. Why don't they just revert to hello? Hello's a good greeting, isn't it?
No. Hello. Corn dog.
Corn dog.
Corn dog's a better greeting. Hello is boring.
Whatever. Hell no.
Would you rather drink 16 ounces of pus?
Or listen to Nickelback?
Your own pus.
Oh, go ahead.
Or eat a 1-inch thick scab sandwich?
I would absolutely personally do the scab. I would eat the scab sandwich not even as an option. Scabs aren't bad. I mean, if you put mayo on there and put scabs on there, I bet you'd be very similar to like a jerky sandwich or a bacon sandwich.
Yeah, I think so.
I think
jerky
it'd be great.
Sandwich,
plus, no way.
My mom used to always get pissed at me because I'd keep my scab collection in the old cornflakes box. And then she'd get it.
No competition. No.
Yeah.
No
if
comparison.
I had to drink pus, I would just mix Miracle Whip with it.
Mm-hmm.
Red
sweat. Would it separate? Do they mix?
It's not like oil and water, dude.
How do you know? Okay. How do you know the properties of pus?
Because I've mixed pus with Miracle Whip before.
You'll really be ballsy if you can eat the juice that settles in the hot dog bag.
Oh yeah.
So hot dog juice and tuna fish milkshakes.
Mm.
If you mix those two, and you say that when someone's got a hangover, it's awesome.
What about the oil from the tuna cans that when you get tuna in oil?
Yeah. No one buys that in there. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Hot dog
sardine
juice,
heads,
chicken foot soup.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was that story? There was a story.
Some people to qualify for some cruise, they had a guy soak his feet in chicken soup for like over an hour, and then this other dude had to drink it or eat the soup.
And his bun.
I saw that on a show.
Was on the Donkey Show? Did they steal it from something?
Or it was. It was on the radio. Jackass, I think.
Oh well, maybe they didn't. They might have stole it from Jackass.
No. This guy had the guy on Jackass. He was a big fat guy. He was on like a. What's a stair-step machine or a treadmill or one of those? And they wrapped him, his body in cellophane, and they funneled his sweat down into a bucket, you know, through his ass and everything, into a bucket, and the guy had to drink all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, this, though, his feet soaked so long that, like, a corn fell off of his foot and other stuff, and there was, like, all these foot particles from his like, gross chafe.
At least it would taste just like one of those pieces of chicken in there.
So the guy slurped it all down, and he ate it all. Said it was super extra salty, and then he was like one of 11 qualifiers for this 7-day cruise.
So he had a 9% chance.
He didn't win, though. He did it for nothing. Even that guy that had that fat guy try to fart on his chest. Oh, you didn't see that. Chris Castle
did he shart instead?
He couldn't do it. He was too embarrassed. He's like 400 pounds, like big enough to where he really, you could tell he never could reach his ass. So they said when he took down his pants in the radio station there that they were all gagging, and he didn't even fart. And then he's like, oh, I did fart, but you guys didn't hear me, because he was trying to cover up the fact that his ass stank so bad without farting.
Just rancid.
Why do people think of stuff like that? I'd rather do the Chicken McNugget challenge. We were going to see how many Chicken McNuggets we could eat in 12 minutes.
Yeah. How many do you think you could eat, Don?
I'm a pretty good power eater. Let me see. 12
he said
minutes?
80.
12 minutes. Well, you figure, have you ever had a 20-piece?
I've had the 20-piece before. I'd mow those suckers down
real
quick. Oh, man,
like 3 or 4 minutes, right? You could.
I'd say, you know, I'm kind of weird with numbers, you know, that 72 miles an hour thing.
Uh-huh.
I think I could eat probably somewhere between 60 and 65.
Wow. I said like 50 to 60. I think,
and I'd absolutely have to have plenty of sauce.
Yeah, that's what we were wondering.
Help it slide down a little better.
Yeah, yeah.
We were talking about just dumping it in. Sauce. Yeah, just drinking that instead of drinking water. Just drink some barbecue sauce or sweet and sour.
Yeah, just squeeze it right into your mouth.
And then I don't know if you heard, but there was a guy who was trying to get us to do what he called the Icy Hot Whack-Off Challenge. Where we had our significant unders, I always say that, our significant others under the table using Icy Hot for lube, and the first one that runs the bathroom loses, but you can't wipe that stuff off.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's too much. I need to rub it off.
They would both lose.
So that's not...
he was going to give us $20 to do
it. It's not spanking the monkey. That's just beating the living shit out of
the monkey. That's right. And he's burning and blow on it.
Microwaving the monkey.
All right. So where are we at? We're about done to wrap. Time to wrap up?
Yeah, I think we're about 60.
I don't think we mentioned anything about, are we still covered by the Dixie Creek Saloon? We'll mention them even if we
are. No, I don't mind.
All right.
Them.
Dixie Creek Saloon. That's all you get.
Yep.
we would like to tell you to, if you go to our website, tagcastpodcast.com, go click on donate and give us a dollar at your PayPal or $5 or don't give us anything if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. We're not going to really pander that much, but it helps us keep
send
our
us
show
a penny
free.
In the mail.
Yeah. Snail mail.
Yeah.
But make
as long
sure
as
you
it's the wheat bag.
Make sure you put a thin coat of Elmer's glue over the stamp so we can flake it off and it doesn't have a postmark, we can reuse the stamp. Hey, it works like a charm. If you ever want to like snail mail back and forth with somebody and you don't want to spend a stamp every time, you just put a light clear coat of Elmer's glue, which dries clear. The postmark goes on it. You get the stamp. Peel it off. Good to go.
No, you know what you do is you put the return address as to where you want to ship it, and then don't put a stamp on it at all.
Whoa!
And then
does that really work?
Learning some good stuff today.
Wow. I don't know if that really works.
Did you just now think of that?
No, I've thought about it before, but I'm too scared.
You're too
scared. You couldn't put it at your house because they'd go, oh well, obviously. This is his address on the 2. I think it might work, though.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Also, if you are an iTunes listener, rate us if you haven't. Give us 5 stars because we like that. And write a little review that says we're awesome. Or if you give us 5 stars, you can even say those guys are terrible.
Yeah, as long as they're 5 stars.
But we're informative. I think we've had like 6 or 7 reviews so far, and they're all 5 stars. So we have a 5-star rating right now. Which sucks.
That's 5 out of 5.
And today was Thursday's. You know what I didn't do? I know we're already over time, but I don't want to miss this because we had a lot of good ones
what
here.
What did we do?
We got to talking, and I forgot about our celebrity birthdays today, and we don't usually have a show on Thursday. And there's also some friends that I want to mention, I think.
Who's our celebrity friend?
We've got so many celebrity birthdays today, I can't even believe it.
All right, Thursday.
Okay, I'm going to say names, and you're going to know this one. You will, too. Who's Peter Cetera?
Oh, Chicago baby. Yep. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Chicago baby.
Mm-hmm. Was he your original
member?
He's
when they got sissified and sang all those pretty love songs with that high falsetto
voice. You're my inspiration, yes.
Look away.
Here's another one from that same era, David Clayton Thomas' birthday today.
Oh, Blood, Sweat, and Tears?
Yes, nice, nice.
Wow, very nice.
Now, here's one you guys won't know.
Okay.
Randy Jones.
Wait a minute.
He's known as the Cowboy.
Oh.
It's fun to stay at the
YMCA guy. Oh, yeah. My God.
The Cowboy. Oh,
wow. My. I've never even quizzed anybody on if you know all the names of the YMCA people.
I didn't know it.
The village people. Anybody?
I would never have gotten that one.
Wow.
And we talked about this guy, and this is what we're going to say on the next show when we ask who was on your show yesterday. Don was. It's his birthday.
Yeah, was.
Now, was not was.
Was not was, yeah.
What was the other guy's name?
He's still a big producer, I think, isn't he?
Yeah.
Wasn't there another guy in Was Not Was?
Yeah, but he wasn't was.
He wasn't, yeah.
Yeah. He went on solo. He went on a solo, and that was his name, wasn't was.
Okay, how about this guy? Zach Starkey.
Oh,
Starkey and Hutch.
That's Ringo Starr, baby. Isn't
Ringo Starr's baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't he in Starkey and Hutch?
Now, here's something kind of weird.
Uh-huh, okay.
Not only was Ringo Starr's son born on this day in 1965, Paul McCartney's daughter Stella was born on this day in 1971.
What?
I know. Is that weird? 6 years later, he's
there's
like,
there's obviously
having a baby
something
on the same day.
Going on there.
Yeah, they were having sex on the same day 6 days later, or 6 years later.
Wow, you think they planned that?
Man, I'm already tired of these, but I got two more. Right. Comedian Jeffrey Ross, it's his birthday.
You got to
check him out on the burn.
Why don't you roast him real quick? You got one roast for him?
Yeah, I didn't know that a comedian that looked like a lesbian Mr. Roper could actually get his same show. Get a show on TV. Doesn't he look like a lesbian Mr. Roper?
He does. That hair is whack.
Yeah. And here's the last celebrity birthday, Tim Ripper Owens. Do you know who he is?
I would say he was probably who took Rob Halford's
place. Yes, yes, yes. And he sings for Iced Earth now.
Are they any good?
Iced Earth? Yeah, they are pretty good, actually. Our friend Flames loves those guys quite a bit, and so does Dave from Crimson Guardian. Uh-huh. I don't listen to him enough. More power metal, high singing, kind of. And the thing is, Tim Ripper Owens was in a Judas Priest tribute band before he...
Oh, really?
And that's kind of, you know, the movie Rockstar with Marky Mark? That was kind of based on Judas Priest.
Yeah,
in Chicago.
We just watched that a while back, didn't we, Kate? Yeah.
In Chicago, they have a tribute band called Judas Beast, which is an Iron Maiden tribute band.
That's clever. Wow.
That plays... some Judas Priest songs.
That's like Dread Zeppelin.
It's about 80-20.
I like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I... Oh, shit. I lied when I said we had a... No, that's not supposed to be on there. Forget that I did that. You can cut that out later.
What?
If you can.
Cut what out?
Okay, damn it.
I don't even know what you're talking about. The cool thing is I lied when I said we had friend birthdays. There's no friend birthdays today.
Oh.
So all of our friends can F off.
Yeah.
It is 9/11, though.
Well, recording 9/11 day. Yep. This is actually Thursday.
Never
he's
going to
cut
though.
All that
you
stuff
can edit
out.
That out.
No, never forget, though. Never forget to turn off the oven before you leave the house.
That's right.
Yep.
What happens if you leave it on?
It depends on if something's in there or not.
Talking heads.
Have you ever left something in the oven? What's the longest you've left something in the oven without remembering?
Just those pizzas at Vermenfest.
Have you guys heard of a protein house being protein burnt?
Uh-uh.
My friend Jason, he got really drunk and he cooked chili, and he fell asleep and it cooked all night and just burnt down, you know, to nothing.
Uh-huh.
And it made his whole house. I mean, disaster restoration came and everything. It's what it called. Protein burned the house, where that burn and that smell of those burnt beans and
just
all that stuff
just
soaked into the walls, deep into the walls, into the furniture, into the carpet,
like
and everything.
He was cooking meth.
And he had to just go through all this shit for weeks to get that protein burn smell out of his house.
That's crazy.
So he's cut back on the drinking a little bit.
Definitely don't leave the chili on overnight, kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Protein burn also when you eat too many protein bars and then you fart.
Burn out.
You get that itchy.
With combo jalapeno.
Yeah, you get that itchy burn.
All right, well, I guess we better wrap this sucker up.
Wrap it up.
Like, what's that band that does that song? The Fabulous Thunderbirds.
Thundercats.
Speaking of Stevie Ray Vaughan, huh? He has a little sibling in that band.
Yeah, I know, and too bad he's been dead for 22 years now. Yeah,
Jimmy Vaughan?
No, Stevie.
Oh.
Stevie Ray. Should have been Eric Clapton. No, I'm sorry. Shouldn't say that. We talked about that on another episode.
Yeah.
Because he gave up his seat, you know, like Waylon Jennings and Buddy Holly. So, all right. Well, thanks for being on the show, Don.
Yeah,
thanks.
Appreciate
it. Pleasure.
We got lots of info out of you.
That was a beautiful thing.
It was.
Yeah, you guys are good.
Fun.
Keep it up.
Thanks a lot, man. And, hey, tune in with us again tomorrow, three shows in a row.
Bam, bam, bam.
It's going to be Friday tomorrow, episode 11. You said you had an interesting song. I'm curious of what it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
The intro song for episode 11.
Haven't you heard it?
No.
Oh, okay.
9/11.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, you guys.
Rock on.
Matt. Hey, all you taggets, are you ready for your lineup for the next few weeks of entertainment? I'm sure you are. You want to go out and do something, right? Well, this Saturday night at the Dixie Creek Saloon, it's Comedy Showcase number 3 with your headliner, Chris Castles. We got Andy Bradwin, Mac Chase, Jesse Priest, and myself and Dustin Gatchel will be hosting the show. That starts at 9:30. It's 21 and over, and it's a free show. Bring some change, though, to throw in the tip jar, because us comedians are hungry. September 20th, we got Serge Tankian, who is the singer of System of a Down, and our buddies in 30 Pound Test will be opening the show at the Roslyn Theater.
Why do you leave the keys upon the table?
Because you wanted to. And so if you want to get tickets, if you wanted to, you should call up the Rowe Brothers, Zach or Jason, hit them up on Facebook. It'll save you like 11 or 12 bucks instead of getting it from Safeway. Screw those guys. September 23rd, homecoming show for Yob and Norska, who are on tour right now. They'll be playing a Sunday night at the Oak Street Speakeasy in Eugene with a local band called Dirt Clawed Fight, who recently got back together. Love those guys. Go check them out. It should be $5. Those shows are usually free, but they have a suggested donation for the touring band. So go check out Yob and Norska on September 23rd. Unless you're at Sickness in September, which is the 21st through the 23rd up in Portland at the Red Room out on 82nd. 3 days of metal, I think like 30 or 40 bands or something. You can get a 3-day pass for $20, or it's $10 a day. Friday starts at 3:30. I know that's early, but there's lots of metal to be metaled. So the next days are at 2 o'clock, even earlier on Saturday and Sunday. It includes bands like Drosera, Dead in the Ditch, and Spawn on day one. Day two, Truculence and Otis all the way from Nevada. Day three, Hyborian Rage and Echoic will be playing along with like 12 other bands. So go check that out. And if you're not doing that Saturday night in Salem at the Triangle Inn, September 22nd, our friend Jesse Priest and former guest of the show is doing his Comedy is Free at the Triangle. It's number 15 for them, so they're going strong for a few years. They got Danny Feltz from the Spicy News coming down, Iris Gorman, John Washington. Jesse will be hosting the show, and your headliner will be Sean Jordan, who's been on Doug Loves Movies. He's done Helium a lot. That's why his voice is so high. And then November 11th, down the road a bit, Napalm Death. Any death metal fans or grindcore fans, go check that out at the Hawthorne Theater. We're working on some stuff for that, but we'll see what transpires. Either way, I'll be down there. Go check that out. And I think that's it for now.
I got a show.
Give me something.
September 25th, don't go see Mac Miller. The tickets are $75.
All right. Yeah, don't do that. And it's like a weeknight or something. So, Mac Miller, hey, thanks for listening, and go do something.
Hello, this is Flames from Crimson Guardian. Amazon.com has some amazing deals, and you can help support the TagCast podcast by going to their site, TagCastPodcast.com. And click on their Amazon link on the top of their page. It'll help support the show and keep it running. Have a fucking great day.
TagCastPodcast.com.